Hello and welcome to the Bingeables Podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chin Lin
and Cammy.
Welcome, Cammy, to the Bingeables Podcast. This is actually your first podcast guesting ever, right?
Yep.
Isaac is not going to be on this podcast because he has not watched Shadow and Bone, so, you know, his loss. My friend Cammy is going to join us today, and she is going to be our special guest for this spoiler-free preview episode of Shadow and Bone and for the season one episode to follow. So, Cammy, let's learn a little bit about you. What are some of your favorite shows or movies?
I'm a really big fan of Disney. Anything by them, I'm gonna go out and immediately see. But my number one favorites are Meet the Robinsons and Lilo and Stitch. I'm also a really big fan of Stranger Things and other Disney shows, like Owl House and Amphibia. I also really enjoy anything Marvel or Star Wars.
What is Owl House?
So it is a animated show that was released by Disney last year, 2020, created by a woman named Donna Terrace. It is about a girl who is Dominican American named Luz Noceda, who stumbles through a doorway into another realm called the Boiling Isles. And Luz Noceda is actually confirmed bisexual. And she has a slight romantic plot with another female character named Amity Blight, who is a witch. And the whole point of Luz being in the Boiling Isles is her wanting to learn to be a witch, even though it's believed that humans have no magical ability.
Okay. Is this on Disney Plus?
It is. Season 2 actually just premiered on Disney Channel, I believe, or Disney XD. But all of season one is on Disney Plus right now.
Oh, okay. That sounds very interesting. What are some of your hobbies outside of watching movies and TV shows?
I really like attending dance classes whenever I can. I haven't been able to do that much recently due to the pandemic. However, I also really enjoy reading and writing fan fiction.
Oh my God. What fan fiction have you written?
I don't know if I have any online anymore, actually.
But okay, it's okay. It doesn't have to be online. But what have you written, girl?
In high school, the last one I finished was a Legend of Korra, Bolin X original female character, who was the child of Lin Beifong. I'm working on one right now that's for Winx Club. That's a Stormy ex-original female character. Stormy is a member of a group of witches called the Trix, which are actually the villains. But
are there any erotic fanfiction in this?
No.
Okay.
I have never brought myself to write anything like that.
Okay.
Just because I don't have any experience with that, so I don't imagine it'd be very good or accurate.
I had to ask. Oh, but thank you for sharing, Cammy. Alrighty. We are moving on to our Whatcha Bingin' segment, so I will start. Besides Shadow and Bone, I've been watching season 5 of Kim's Convenience. It just came out on Netflix, and unfortunately the 5th season is the final season, but I think they wrapped up the show pretty well. Who knows, we'll probably cover Kim's Convenience at some point, because I really do like this show. I started on Demon Slayer. It is an it's a super, super, super popular anime. Like, if you're listening and you're a huge anime fan, you probably already know about Demon Slayer. It's available on Hulu and Netflix, and I'm assuming Funimation or Crunchyroll or something. Those are like the top two streaming platforms for anime. Because I should have watched Demon Slayer a while ago, because it looks like something I would like. It's about, it's set in, I forgot which period of Japan it is, but it's, you know, in the past. Mm-hmm. And it's about a guy who comes home and finds that, and this is all in the first episode, by the way, if anyone's listening and wants to see Demon Slayer. In the first episode, he comes back and realizes, you know, his family's been slaughtered by demons. So aww. he thus decides he needs to avenge his family and, you know, becomes a demon slayer. So it's kind of about his journey, meeting other slayers, and yeah, I won't go into too much detail, but mm-hmm. That is the gist of it. And then Lupin Season 2. Lupin is a French series about starring Omar Sy. Omar Sy has been in a few American productions. Lupin, I won't go into too much detail because I already brought up Lupin before for any of our regular listeners. Lupin is about a guy who is basically trying to avenge the wrongful accusation and death of his father, because his father used to work for this super rich evil white man, and this evil white man accused him of something that he didn't do. So then his dad went to jail, and, you know. So Season 2 is the continuation of that. And Witches of East End, I actually watched this show a long time ago on Hulu, and luckily it's still on Hulu. It's kind of like Charmed, but obviously it's got its own twist to it. It's got its own mythology. Witches of East End is actually based on the books by Melissa de la Cruz. She's a young adult author as well. But yeah, that is what I've been binging on lately. It's a lot. I know a lot of things have opened up in Texas where we live, but I am, you know, trying to be cautious. And even though I'm vaccinated, I'm still wearing my mask and, you know.
Yeah, same.
What have you been binging on, Cammie?
So I actually just finished rewatching the Harry Potter films for the first time. I think basically since part two released.
Shit.
I'd watched them, in one-offs.
Yeah.
But I've never watched them all, in one go in a while.
Yeah.
But my family recently got Universal Orlando annual passes, and my dad went, and he didn't remember as much about Harry Potter as he thought, and he wanted to rewatch them before we went to Harry Potter World again. So we went through all of those, and it was really nice rewatching them all again. I hadn't, like I said, watched them all in one go. And the ones I do go to watch aren't usually the latter ones, despite my favorite character being Luna Lovegood, who only makes an appearance in 5 to 7, and 8, technically, but you know what I meant.
Yeah.
And then I recently finished Infinity Train, which is a really good one if y'all are looking for something new to watch. It's on HBO Max, and it was on Cartoon Network, but they dropped it recently, so Season 4 was the last season. But that was a really fun one to get into. And then I've also started watching Little Witch Academia, which is an anime that's a lot like Owl House, actually, and it's about a human girl who goes to a witch school when magic has only been in witch families leading up to that point. And then I'm actually watching Sailor Moon for the first time, and I just started the second season, Sailor Moon R.
I haven't watched Sailor Moon since I was little. And back then, I was little, and my mom got me the first season of Sailor Moon, and it was the Taiwanese Mandarin dub, which is different from the Chinese Mandarin dub, because Chinese and Taiwanese, it's still Mandarin, but the dialects are different.
Okay.
Kind of like American English and British English.
Yeah.
So I watched Sailor Moon for the first time when I was young in the Taiwanese dub. And she only got me the first season, so I never watched past that. But if she had gotten me those other seasons, I would have watched more of it. And like now, because I know the original Sailor Moon and the new Sailor Moon Crystal, they're both available on
Hulu.
Yeah. And I can't get myself to watch the Crystal series because the animation is just so different. And
yeah,
I know it's supposed to be closer to the manga.
Yeah.
In terms of animation style.
Yeah.
Artistic style. But I can't get myself to watch it. It's too different.
Yeah, I've had, or like in, like, looking into the show and leading up to me watching it, I watched a lot of people and heard a lot of people talking about how, like, if they were fans of the original, like, 90s anime, it was hard getting into the Crystal.
Okay, yeah, so it's not just me.
It's not just you. I think it's a lot of old fans of the show. I am watching the original 90s anime.
Okay. My bad, sorry. No, I assumed you were watching the Crystal one.
No, it's, I tried watching it a couple times as I grew up. I just couldn't get into the English dub with,
Yeah, never do the English dub.
But I'm not great with subtitles. My attention span when I'm watching TV isn't fantastic, so I have to have something else to do. So I'm not great with subtitles when it's in another language. However, Hulu has a new English dub that is a lot more faithful to the original Japanese script.
Oh.
As opposed to the Americanized English dub from the 90s where, like, they changed her name to Serena.
And oh, everything. I hate that. Oh, no.
And she's just so whiny. And I realized that's just the character early on, is Usagi's just kind of whiny. But it's a lot more tolerable this time around, I feel like, for whatever reason.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, but they have it both dubbed and subbed on Hulu. And all the seasons are there as well as Crystal, so.
Nice. All right. So let's get right into Shadow and Bone. This is the spoiler-free preview about the show. The fantasy drama premiered on Netflix on April 23rd, 2021, and it's based off the YA young adult fantasy novels, the Shadow and Bone trilogy, and the Six of Crows duology. It's just two books by Leigh Bardugo. So I thought this was interesting. They took all of the books instead of just the original trilogy.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, because the Six of Crows, from my understanding, when I did my research, they're like the sequels.
Okay.
Yeah. So Netflix already announced back in June 7th that there will be a second season, and we'll talk more about season one in the next episode. But there is hope, you know, because sometimes Netflix will cancel shows after the first season, and you'll have cliffhangers, and you'll be like, what the fuck? But, yeah. You know, there's hope. There's definitely going to be a second season if anyone chooses to watch this show. And we really hope you do, because obviously we're here to recommend it.
Yeah. This is our spoiler-free preview where we have finished watching the show and we will give an overview and explain why we think geeks should watch it.
So from the official synopsis from IMDb, dark forces conspire against orphan mapmaker Alina Starkov when she unleashes an extraordinary power that could change the fate of her war-torn world. I like this one. A lot of IMDb synopses are kind of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this one's very faithful to what it's actually about.
Yeah, I've noticed, I feel like IMDb does have some, like, fan interaction on their website, so I think that's why... Mm-hmm.
People leave reviews.
Some of them are crap, is because they're written by fans, and they cover random plot points instead of, like, the main ones to draw you in to watch it.
Yeah. So we're going to insert an audio clip of the season one trailer right now.
You're safe now. Tell me what happened in the fall. What saved you?
You won't believe me, but this was a sun summoner.
Is this true? Can you summon light?
She's real.
Our enemies are threatened by your mere existence.
The whole world will be after you.
The prize is 1 million Kruger.
Bring me Alina Starkov.
Am I a prisoner?
All of Ravka is. Until you and I enter the fold. And destroy it from within.
So no pressure. Everyone is looking at me like I'm the answer.
Bring the light. Again.
The only thing more powerful than you or me, the two of us together.
Good girl. Now the work begins.
Goes wrong,
I'll find my way back to you.
How many bullets do you have?
Not enough. She'll realize she has only one equal. There are no others like us, and there never will be.
You have no idea how much larger a role you have to play.
And we're back. So why did we choose this show, and what is it about the show that geeks should be watching to begin with? So actually, Cammie, I've been talking a lot. Why don't you start off? And I know your reasons might be different from mine, so.
So reasons geeks should be watching this is it's in a fantasy world that hooks you fairly quickly in the first episode.
I will say, for me personally, I think it took like halfway into the second half of the first episode for me to really be hooked in.
Yeah.
And I just want to be honest with our listeners.
Yeah, it took a good amount of time into episode one to hook you. I think part of that was just setting up the world.
Yeah.
And the status quo in order to break it.
Yeah.
So I think part of that was just like storytelling elements, but it does take a minute for like the action to get going.
And I say that because a lot of people have short attention spans, and yeah. I'm one of those people,
same,
unfortunately. Same. usually for some shows, I'll tell my friends, hey, like if the first episode doesn't hook you, give the second or third a chance. And if you feel after three episodes you're not hooked, then the show is not for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is not the case for Shadow and Bone. I do want to say one thing. It is another fantasy world that you kind of get into. Mm-hmm. And it's based off of a young adult series. So you're probably thinking, okay, so are we talking another Harry Potter sort of thing? Or is this more kind of like Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings? And I'm going to say the same thing that I said a while ago when I covered The Witcher with another guest. it's another high fantasy, but you can't compare it to Game of Thrones because Game of Thrones is already done. It had seven seasons. Eight seasons.
Eight seasons, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to do that with every new fantasy show that comes out in the next couple of years, though, which I think I've said to you before.
Yeah.
They're just like, we want to cash in on this sort of phenomenon of a show and find the next one. And while I think this is a good show, I don't necessarily think it'll be as good as Game of Thrones. It's very high fantasy, and I think it's interesting that it's not medieval Europe. It's
The setting of Shadow and Bone is supposed to resemble, like, the time of the Russian Empire. Fuck, I don't know. I don't know
what
it's called.
Tsarist Russia. Yeah, so Eastern Europe, but it's not like when we think of high fantasy, we think of... When we think of Game of Thrones, it's very European-esque, and this...
This is more Russian.
Yeah.
This is Russian-inspired.
Which is refreshing.
Yeah. And then I will say there are still some tropes in terms of, like, fantasy tropes you normally come across, especially with YA. But I still think the show holds its own.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And I like this show because I think it's the characters are very rich, diverse, inclusive. They have really good backstories. Mm-hmm. And the way the screenwriters, teleplay writers, the way they script writers. What is wrong with me? I can't talk today. Jeez. The way the script writers wrote this show, I felt was very ambiguous, and there will be plot twists, and that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
Was there any other reason that you would want to recommend this show, Cammy?
Ben Barnes is in it.
And we'll get to that.
Like, I had people telling me to watch it, and I make that point because had someone told me Ben Barnes was in it, I would have watched it a lot sooner. But no one told me that.
Cammy is a huge Ben Barnes fan, and I promise we'll get there in a few minutes. But this is a good segue to talk about the cast, because the cast is pretty much all fresh faces. Ben Barnes, I would say, is the only, like, veteran cast member. And, like, he's not even old. He's, like, 40. Which, I guess...
is older, but I wouldn't consider old.
He's older, but he's not old. Yeah, exactly. So we're going to save Ben Barnes for last.
Yes.
So for... and I only listed the main six cast members for consistency in this podcast.
Yeah.
As Alina Starkoff, our main protagonist, we have Jessie Mae Lee. As Mal Aretsev, we have Archie Renault. Mal is Alina's childhood friend and still friends. And next up, we have the next three I'm going to mention. They're kind of all together. So there's like two different plots in the show. And Alina and Mal is one plot. The next three people I'm going to list are part of another plot.
Mm-hmm.
So Freddie Carter plays Mr. Kaz Brecker. Kaz is an owner of a club, casino, a club that lets people gamble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of like a back alley deal sort of a guy.
Yeah. And then next we have Amita Suman as Inej. Inej is one of Kaz's employees.
Yeah.
And Kit Young as Jesper. Jesper is another one of Kaz's employees. And honestly, like, you meet them as employees in the first episode, like the first 10, 15 minutes when you meet them. They're all in the club that Kaz owns. But I like to think of these three characters as you know, kind of like employee friends, like work friends, colleagues. They respect each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm going to say Ben Barnes for last for you, Cammy.
Ben Barnes is General Kerrigan. For anyone who doesn't know Ben Barnes, you'll recognize him as Prince Caspian in the Chronicles of Narnia series. He's also in Dorian.
Dorian Gray.
Yes, Dorian Gray. And then he's also in The Punisher and Westworld.
So I don't think I ever watched the second or third movie of Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh, I loved Narnia growing up.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
I did watch him in other stuff. I don't remember what other stuff he's been in, other than what we've listed on the outline.
Yeah.
But definitely watched him as Dorian Gray in the movie, The Picture of Dorian Gray. That movie is based on an Oscar Wilde book, and it's been remade a few times. But I think that film was like 2009-ish.
Ish.
Yeah, and it's much more rated R. So
yeah,
I won't spoil anything, but it's definitely rated R. And then I have not watched The Punisher. But Westworld is one of my favorite shows, and he has a minor role in Westworld, for sure. And then I do want to mention one thing, because I thought this was kind of an interesting fact. So Ben Barnes, I mentioned how he's like the veteran cast. Like you said, if someone had told you that Ben Barnes was in this show, you would have watched it way sooner.
Yeah.
So in terms of cast crediting, in the beginning of every episode, after the title animation, you'll have the cast credits of everyone that we just said, and of course other people as well, but Ben Barnes is usually last, and that's called last billing. And I looked into this because I noticed this all the time for Charmed, for seasons 4 through 8. The second half of the show. My favorite actress, Holly Marie Combs, she has last billing of the main three sisters, the main three characters. And I don't know if this is because she's a veteran actor, because the show was, this was like late 90s, early 2000s, but this is where I learned about the term last billing. So usually for a lot of shows or movies, they give the most veteran actor of the main cast the last billing. So their name is the last one you see.
Okay.
So, like, it leaves more of an impression, I guess.
Yeah. Kind of, that's the last one you're thinking of.
So. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, yeah, Ben Barnes, he plays General Kerrigan. General Kerrigan is going to be in this Alina and Mal storyline.
Yeah.
And we are going to wrap up with 5 spoiler-free fun facts that I have found out about the show. And these are from IMDb, Hype.com, and EliteDaily.com. I can include links in the description if anyone's interested in reading more about the details.
You good?
I had a burger for lunch. Oh, man. Okay. So the show was filmed in Budapest. So we're still, even though it's not, I don't know what the politics of Russia are for, like, people who want to film stuff in Russia, but they're still filming in East Europe, and you're getting the vibes that you would want to see.
Yeah.
To sell the show as being Russian inspired.
Okay.
Fact number 2, David J. Peterson, the linguist known for Game of Thrones, Dothraki, and Valyrian languages, worked on Shadow and Bone to develop 4 Grishaverse languages. So, Grishaverse, it's just referring to the show. So, in the show, the term Grisha just means, like, someone who has magic. So David J. Peterson worked on creating four languages: Rafkin, Kirch, Fjärden, and sign language. There's some Grecian sign language. And I was just like, damn. He did two languages on Game of Thrones, and now he's done double the work for Shadow and Bone.
Yeah.
And this guy is really cool, because I've listened to him as a guest on other podcasts, Game of Thrones-specific podcasts. And, yeah, he's very interesting to listen to. So, thought I would just throw that out there.
I feel like you'd have to be in order to make up functioning fictional languages.
Yeah, because, like, there's only so much you can go off of in the original books. Like, yeah. You have to create the sounds and the verbs and the adjectives. You gotta create everything so that the actors can speak it and yeah. make it sound like a real language on screen. So yeah. that is a lot of work. fact number three, Freddie Carter learned to do sleight of hand tricks for his role as Kaz. And Kit Young researched and trained himself to do, like, gun tricks. And he did, like, a lot of research on, like, cowboys and gunslingers. And a lot of the, like, gun stunts that are on the show that his character does, he actually did them himself. And I think the original plan was that some of those would be done in CGI. So it's very impressive. Like, he's definitely got the chops.
Yeah, that's nice.
And I'm going to save the last two for you.
Alrighty. So, Jessie Mae Lee mentioned in an interview that she had a huge crush on Ben Barnes when she was younger. She had a huge poster of him from the Chronicles of Narnia films on her wall.
Was that you, Cammie?
It was not. At the point of Chronicles of Narnia coming out, the only posters I had on my wall of were dancers from a dance magazine, because that was, like, the height of my ballet.
Oh.
I don't want to say career, but I had just started on point, and at that point, the goal was to get further into, like, my studio's, like, in-house company. That did not happen. but there's a lot to that on like why I stopped dancing like so consistently. But anyway, the fifth and final fun fact is the actors trained with fighting coordinators to learn a style of Russian martial art called Sistema.
I have never heard of Sistema. So like there's karate, there's kung fu. Those are like the main ones from Eastern, East Asia. And then I didn't know anything about Russian martial arts.
Yeah, neither did I. But that's good that they went that far into it, though, to give the, like, setup that it's Russia-inspired.
Yeah, yeah. Because, and it also shows, like, how hard they worked to, like, stay faithful to the books.
Yeah. And the world building and such.
Exactly. And I totally forgot to say this at the beginning. I have not read the books.
Neither have I. I did not know they were based on books until we were getting ready to film this podcast.
The author, Leigh Bardugo, she is, I think, one of the consulting producers on the show. Okay. So it makes me happy that they, you know, actually brought her in for consultations to ask her, hey, how does this look? We want some of your feedback, you know, because it's her source material.
Yeah, that's good.
And yeah, you know, every author's dream, I guess.
Yep.
but yeah, way to go, Lee. Way to go, everyone on the show of Shadow and Bone. So that wraps up our spoiler-free preview. So stick around for our next episode where we'll cover season one. And yeah, until next time. And again, thank you, Cammie, for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm having fun.
Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit us on patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/bingeablespod.
You can connect with us on Twitter at bingeablespod, or you can email us at bingeablespod@gmail.com.
Until next time. And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin McLeod.